the Science Guy.
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Bill.
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Science rules.
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Inertia is a property of matter.
What is really going on, Crypto Savages? This is your host, C. Edward Kelso, Editor-in-Chief out of CoinSpice.io, back with another episode of the CoinSpice podcast. I was able to snag a man in the middle of a personal storm. It is Shil Nye, the crypto guy, now known as Michael Nye, and wow, is he getting whacked on Twitter and doxxed and all the rest of it. You may remember him as sort of that Binance-like trader guy who was traveling all over the place. He wore the mask, and he would, you know, he was a crypto celebrity, as much as we ever had one. And I think he embodied, or his avatar at least in the beginning, embodied crypto 2017 and into 2018, that craziness. I find his story fascinating. I know I'm going to get hate for just, you know, treating him well, but he's an interesting, compelling guy, and I think there's a lot of value to him and what he does. If I thought he was a scammer, I would not have him on. But I don't think that. I think it's a little bit more nuanced than that. But I do think there is a place to knock down your idols and people who call themselves influencers and present themselves as he would deny, you know, saying he's an expert, but as someone who could, you know, speak on the space. I think it's fair to go after their credentials and find out what they really know. But what I think comes across for Nye in our interview at CoinSpice is that there is a bigger picture, and I try to put it in context. I went and I asked some of the people who doxed him if they wanted to come on, kind of give their side of the story. They'd rather stay anonymous, and I respect that as well. But Michael came right on, and he jumped at the chance to talk and get his story out there. So lots of things to consider in this one. I think you're really going to enjoy it. Pour yourself that tall glass of milk. We're going to get spicy. Again, if you want to do the vegan thing, you want to go the almond milk, I'm not judging you. I refuse to judge. But pour yourself a glass of milk. It's going to get spicy. Here is Shil Nye, the crypto guy.
What is really going on, crypto savages? You are listening to the CoinSpice podcast with host C. Edward Kelso, editor-in-chief at CoinSpice.io, your home for spicy crypto things on the net.
I gotta say, you know, you came into my orbit maybe a year ago, I'm not sure, but the first thing I thought was, this guy's full of shit. And I saw the mask and everything, and then I stepped back and I was like, hold on a second. That's pretty brilliant. That is a brilliant idea. That's a genius marketing move. And then when I listened to you a little bit, I thought, well, there's some there. There's some substance there. And I kind of, you know, went in, went out, dropped in, dropped out, listened to you, watched you and stuff. And I thought your initial entree into the crypto space was nothing short of genius. So, That's how we'll start, but I gotta say this too. When I reached out to you with some of the recent controversy, I didn't expect it. You got right back to me, and then I thought, there's no way he's gonna show up on the podcast. Not only does Nye show up, he comes early. He was here before I was. So anyway, you're a pro, dude, and I really appreciate you coming on.
Hey, no worries, bro. No worries.
Very cool. So let's get into a little bit. How did you come about? I'm going to jump around because I think your story mirrors the space at large, and you know you're still evolving and so on. But how did you come up with the idea of covering your face, and going that route? How did that come about?
I was honestly just like, I had started tweeting, people had really liked it. And I wanted to start doing live streams, but I just didn't want anyone to know who I was, like whether it was, I think like, I don't really know exactly why. It was probably because I was just like a little bit self-conscious, you know? Also like as like is now obviously very public, I have a fucking colorful past where I've fucking done many different things in my life. And I was kind of at a place in my life where I was like, I don't like, it wasn't even for like Twitter to not know about my past. It was actually the opposite. It was more of like, I didn't want people from my past to know that I was like doing live streams online and building stuff, mostly just because of being a little self-conscious. My confidence had been shaken due to some previous events. And yeah, it's just like put on a mask and I was like, this is going to be the way that I do live streams. And it just kind of happened like that. I appreciate and I respect you saying like, yo, it's a fucking genius marketing move. And like, it honestly did turn out to be, but like to be like 100% honest, like I didn't plan that shit at all. Like it literally just happened like that. And, I put a mask on and people like loved it. They fucking loved it. So,
you're on the receiving end of that. So I can't imagine, but just to give you some context to where I'm coming from, I was either at a conference or around it. My memory's a little fuzzy now, but these guys were talking mad shit about, Shil Nai, the crypto guy. And they're like, ah, he wears the mask. You either came into a conference or I caught like a live stream of them meeting you or seeing you. They screamed like little schoolgirls, ran over and got pictures with you. went to your, I think you were on a panel or something. I was like, yeah, say whatever you want. Say whatever you want. But this dude's onto something. And it's cool to hear you say that it was more about not wanting to link crypto to your past, meaning the past people. So you could, and I get that. Because crypto, especially when you went into it, was considered crazy talk, right? Like nuts.
I mean, it's not even that. So, like, if we're going to get really real and raw on this, like, podcast, then I'll fucking, like go there and, like, talk with you, like, on a real, real level. Like, I just gotten out of, like, a very, very heavy relationship. It had been, like, time since I've gotten out, but I was still dealing with, like, heavy, heavy emotional damage from being manipulated and being abused in emotionally in a relationship. And like the like real facts of it was I didn't want her seeing me on there. And I also didn't want any of her friends seeing me on there. Like I was trying to like rebuild my life in a whole new context, in a whole new way outside of this bubble that I had been in and moving out into something brand new. And crypto was the area that had been like, that's where the facilitation had happened. And yeah, so I put the mask on because specifically I didn't want like that group of people to know what I was doing or know that I was into it. I just didn't have the confidence yet. And that's kind of, I mean, it's pretty real, but like, that's literally like the truth of it. Like that's how fucking, how I ended up putting a mask on and shit.
Again, you know, however you fell into it. And that obviously is a super, you know, real reason for doing it. It turned out to be genius. And I kind of love crypto for, of course, I'm going to get an update right as we're talking. I sort of love crypto for that reason. In other words, we can get people from all sorts of disparate backgrounds. And, you know, you'll hear, for a little time I worked with for about a year, I worked with Bitcoin.com on the news desk there. And, you know, I would go up to do something. Oh, you're with the Roger Ver guy, right? The guy who sold bombs and tried to kill people. I was like, what are you talking? He went to prison. And I was like, okay, yeah. You know, it's people use anything they can to try to sort of hate on and push down people who are doing anything in the space. And while I think it's good to criticize and to look skeptically at everybody's, you know, work and so on and you know, try to find the good and the bad. I think there was sort of a, and it kind of continues on now, this sort of witch hunt to either dox people or try to find out about them. But I always flip it and I just go, no, I like the fact that anybody can come in the space, man. Like that makes me, that endears me to cryptocurrency. Do you feel that way at all?
You do like the fact or you don't like the fact?
I do. I love it.
Oh, I love that fact too, Ben. I mean, I think that's what cryptocurrency is all about. Like, I think that like the whole premise of Bitcoin was to do something that is like, I mean, anarchist is more of an extreme word, but we'll use that word just in, like, against the systems, you know what I mean? Against like the norm, you know? And I think that's why people are attracted to it, whether you were a hippie before, whether you were in banking before, whether you were in XYZ before, like people like are all having very similar like kind of awakenings and thought patterns and saying like, oh wow, our system isn't working. This isn't like a structure or a system that is beneficial. And they come into it either because of that, or they come in it to make money and they learn about that and stay because of that. I don't really know. It just depends on the person's journey, but I 100% agree. I think it's a fucking good thing. Like if we had like everyone who was in crypto was the same, then that would be super fucking boring. It would be the same thing as being in a bank or a corporate structure where everybody came out of Harvard and had B plus A minuses and were hired onto the specific team. Like it would be the same fucking people, and like progression wouldn't happen like at the rate where it does in crypto, at least.
I totally agree. And also, I don't think Bitcoin would have ever existed. People like that are not capable of moving outside of what is sort of the, or what are the accepted poles of thought or ideas. And so coming out of the cypherpunk movement, maybe even some crypto anarchists thrown in there, you know, we don't get Bitcoin unless you get some pretty fucking weird people thinking some pretty fucking weird thoughts. So I love it. Again, I don't embrace every single project the same, and I, you know, it's not crypto kumbaya where I come from, but I'm also not the guy going, wait, what? He did what in the past, or she was what in the past? Like, I like the fact, man, that strippers, porn stars, felons, you know, Stanford computer scientists, Ivy League professors are all kind of engaged in this space. And so I dig that. I find that it to me is what makes crypto. And for some people, they really hate on it bad. But in any case, let's I kind of want to get into your backstory, but kind of take me through the trajectory of you as the masked man of crypto, as Shil Nye the crypto guy. How did your life change once that started taking off?
I mean, I didn't even like really realize that anything was changing, you know what I mean? And like, obviously I had fun like talking about stuff online and I was getting like lots of impressions or whatever. But the matter of fact was like, I didn't realize like anything was like changing for other people's perspectives of me until like I went to like my first conference and people were like, oh my God, you're Nye, like all of this shit. And I was like, yeah, but like what, you know, like it's like, it's still weird to me. Like even now it's weird to me. Like I live with a very different perspective than most people do. So I don't really look at like anyone with like at a different light. Like I think we're all just like humans, you know, I think we're all just doing shit. Like if you create something and it like I use it, then I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. But I don't ever like idolize people, you know? And there's definitely the structure, not all the time, but like many times when I go to conferences or go to meetups and stuff where there's this weird idolization. And I, like, I don't know, it's weird to me. I'm like, dude, I just have like, I'm on Twitter and I just talk about my life on Twitter. Like, it's really nothing that fucking special, but I appreciate like everybody who supports me, you know, I wouldn't like be able to like build the podcast or do the things that I do if I didn't have supporters. I appreciate that. The idolization's a little bit weird though, when people are like, put me on some weird pedestal. It's hard for me to trust something like that.
I bet. And you're being humble, but you've actually been all over the fucking world, right? I mean, you've talked to everybody. You've been everywhere, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, that's part of what happened, man, was like, I was tweeting a lot and I started to gain a lot of attention. And then I obviously started to gain a lot of criticism and, like people like be 100% real. Like people were questioning what value I brought to the space. You know what I mean? They're like, why do you have so many followers? What value do you bring? And at first I like got a little defensive and I was like, well, like I bring good vibes. I bring all this other stuff, you know, I bring like humor via memes and shit. But the matter of fact was like that question, while maybe it's not 100% valid, you know, maybe like I did bring some value, like it made me question how could I bring more value? Right. And one of the things that I saw that was wrong in the space, at least throughout like the time I entered, like the time I re-entered into crypto, like really entered, like went full time in 2017 until like mid 2018, was the fact that like nobody knew what was going on in Asia. We all had these like huge ideas of what was going on. You know, Bitcoin gets banned by China, this and this happens, you know, VeChain is like getting implemented with BMW and all this like crazy
NEO claims. And all that stuff.
Yeah, NEO, exactly. Like NEO is the blockchain of China. Like, but the fact was nobody knew what was happening. So part of the main reason, part of the reason that I went over to Asia for the very first time was to figure out what the fuck was actually happening. And I figured that I did that because like, when people like questioned like what value I was bringing to the space and things like that, like part of it was offensive, but also like I utilized like that as inspiration to like, and I looked at it, I was like, okay, that just means I can be better. Like if somebody doesn't see like the value I bring, then like more, that speaks more volumes about them than me. But the matter of fact is that means I can probably do more and I can probably bring more value. So I went over to Asia and started interviewing these companies, seeing what they were up to face to face, learning more about the industry in that regards. And yeah, bro, I fucking have a blast with it. Like I'm supposed to go back to Asia again in like 2 weeks to do it again.
Wow. Yeah. So this train is still rolling. And I think your journey is a bit like is analogous to when I was a director of operations at a gourmet seafood restaurant. And I had to deal with what's known as the back of the house with the cooks and the preppers, and the front of the house, which were the wait staff, the garçon, all that good stuff. I had to sort of bridge that divide, and people who've not worked in the industry don't understand that there's a real division, you know, because the cook, the chef, would often say to me, you know, these waiters are trash, that, you know, they don't do anything and they're making almost as much as I do in tips and so on. And I should be making more. And when I tried, I had to, you know, because obviously he's, you know, the mechanic, the engineer, the guy who's building or the gal who's building the thing that the waiter or waitress is then taking out to the public, but he didn't have a bedside manner and physically he could not both make the food and take it out. So he has to depend on other people to sort of take out the product and unveil it and be literate in, you know, sides and how it's cooked and made. And that's kind of how I see your role and some of the non engineering developers' role. These guys and gals are usually horrible at selling cryptocurrency. They make clunky products that are gizmo driven to kind of please a development telegram group, and nothing gets adopted and they just sit kind of jerking each other off. Whereas a guy like you or some other influencers take their work, give them feedback, even if it's not a direct relationship and as clear as I'm trying to make it out, they then input that and go, okay, no one wants this really cool, you know, back-end developer, you know, Golang system. I have to make it more user-friendly. And for them to get paid more and to do better, they have to pay attention to guys like you who are out there. It's in your name, right? Or at least your original avatar was shilling, you know, out there pushing the product. And I faulting you for that, I think is weird. And it's also anti-capitalist. I can't think of the right word, but say like, it's illiberal. It's uncosmopolitan. Like it doesn't make any fucking sense. Like you guys should be working together. And so I think that natural tension, though, and you spoke to it, is a good one, because I think it put pressure on you to kind of up your game. And I did see that. I mean, even though I didn't know until you told me right now, I actually did see you kind of, you know, like you brought back interesting things from China. So that's really, really cool. Let's get into your background before you started the crypto stuff. I don't know if you see it as a direct line, but what kind of led you towards crypto?
Well, I wrote a big post about all the like businesses that I've done before crypto and all the failed businesses I've done.
On your Twitter, you went into quite a bit of detail.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And we can touch on any questions around that too. But like, it's specifically crypto. I got introduced to crypto, like it was like 2012-ish time frame. And literally the only introduction to crypto was because my buddies and I were just getting out of college, like fresh, like just kind of like at the end of our college. I think 2012 was like, yeah, about like the last year of college for me around there. I think 2013 was the end, but yeah, we were like at the end of our college degrees. We were fucking partiers, you know, we used to fuck around and do some crazy shit. And the only reason that we got into crypto was literally just to buy shit online. And yeah, like that was how it started. And it wasn't anything serious. I wasn't like a fucking crypto addict after I bought my first Bitcoin in like 2012-ish timeframe. And I've always said that. I've always been very public. This is like, it was literally something where it was like, how do we buy stuff off this website? Oh, you need Bitcoin to buy it. Okay, how do I get Bitcoin? My buddy sold us some Bitcoin. We had some Bitcoin. We bought some shit online. And then like, I think it was like 2013, 14, where I started to look a little bit more into it. But again, nothing serious. I spent like a day or two, maybe 3 days, like researching Litecoin, researching why this is relevant. Why does blockchain technology matter? Why does Bitcoin matter? And like, the matter of fact is I was probably too young, and I also just was, I think it was pretty obvious via my post on businesses that I was just too scattered. You know, I wasn't like very concrete in what I wanted. I wasn't very clear in what I wanted out of life or what I wanted out of what I was creating. So I just looked at Bitcoin and Litecoin for a second, said, oh, that's really cool. And then just forgot about it. As I was like, this, I could see how this is relevant, but it isn't relevant to me right now. I don't see why this would be relevant to me. And so, yeah, I just probably based out of ignorance, I just forgot about it, left it for however many years, and then came back like middle of 2017-ish, around the middle, I think a little bit after the middle, but came back to crypto. And my buddy was like, yo, you got to check out Bitcoin. It's really popping. And I saw I've always said I saw an opportunity to make money, and that's how I first, like, that's why I got back into crypto, was to make money. And after trading shit coins, after seeing what's happening in the industry, like I really sat down, I was like, okay, let me actually look at like why the fuck this technology matters. And ever since then I've been learning. That's like literally my journey, and what I share on Twitter and any other medium that I talk about is I'm learning about the industry. I'm learning about why the technology matters. I'm learning how it plays into the current financial models and the financial systems of our world. I'm just learning about it. And yeah, it's fun. I like it.
And, you know, I think it's coming across more. The reason that I pushed so hard to get you on a couple of days ago was because of some of the stuff that's come out, and I just want to put it out there. I have never made a mistake in my life. I am completely unblemished. I was fully formed out of the womb, Nye, and I am a perfect, you know, I don't want to say I'm Jesus, but I'm there. I'm close. No, obviously I'm being sarcastic. You have nothing, first off, to explain to me or apologize to me, neither to my listeners. But I do think because you're a crypto celebrity, you know, it's important that we both knock down our idols and then, you know, kind of take that chance to look at ourselves. And I think there's a little bit of that going on with you now. And if I did think there was no value to you, or you were just a shill or something, I just wouldn't bother. So I definitely think there's a lot of value to your story, and you are really candid about it.
I want to be like super clear. I want to be super clear about that. Like I never told anyone to follow me and shit. Like I've never like painted myself in any certain like picture of being an expert or anything like that. Like any image or idolization that happened was purely because of other people, you know, like they've painted that picture. They have some concept or perception of who I am. I'll be real. Like, I get it, right? Like, I'm a dude that wore a mask online, and like the mask is like looking back at it, like that mask is intimidating. You know what I mean? Like having a sunglasses and a hood and a fucking bandana over my face, like that's like an intimidating look. So I can understand why people may not have or may have created some perception. I don't agree with it, but I can understand why they may have some perception of me that they've created. But the fact of the matter is, like, I'm not hiding shit. You know what I mean? I never like lied about my past, and I certainly won't lie about my past. You know, like, I've always been very clear with everyone that I used to do a lot of fucking drugs in my past. That I had, like, I've even said it on live streams that I used to be a hippie. You know, I don't know why it's such a big surprise to everyone now that they see a few pictures of it, but it's literally the same fucking shit that I've been saying the entire time I've like been online.
And it's really interesting to me to watch it, because for as many people who enjoyed, you know, taking a shot at you at your expense on Twitter, I mean, I didn't do a scientific regression analysis here of it, but just as many people were like, come on, man. Like, really? Like this is your biggest problem in crypto land, Nye? Like, and he's not backing down from it. Like, I double checked and went back to look at your response to some of it. And you were just like, yeah, I'm not going to apologize. Like, it is what it is. I here I am, and you know, it's fine. Can you go into a little bit about Jedi and some of that experience and what some of the naysayers have sort of brought up as, aha.
Yeah. I mean, I used to run a jewelry company. Like, I don't know what's such a scam about a jewelry company, but yeah, I used to run a jewelry company. I used to be very, very hippie, eating a lot of psychedelics and things like that. and yeah, like in the community that I used to run with, we all used to believe that crystals had, and there still is a large community of people in the world that believe that crystals have metaphysical abilities and powers. So I used to believe it 100%. I do believe in the fact that nature brings different energies and different vibes. Now, do I believe it? It's as heavy of a degree as I did before? No, not really. But I do believe that energy, whether nature, whether it's a tree, whether it's the like being out in the desert or the forest or the jungle, or whether it's like rocks that are grown out of the ground. Like, I believe that everything has a very unique kind of energy and a unique feel to it. I don't think that's really deniable unless you're a very dense human being. Like, I think that you, like, whether if you're in a city and you go to a forest where no one is, you are going to feel a difference. You are, like, whether you want to call it energy, whether you want to call it whatever, like, it is, there is a difference there. There is much more peace and calm when you're in nature. These are things that, like, humans, like, can't deny, like I said, unless you're a very, very dense human being. So, yeah, I believed it on a very extreme degree in the past, and most likely due to the community that I hung around, most likely due to the substances that I was consuming, most likely due to many different factors. And yeah, I ran a jewelry company. It was pretty cool. I enjoyed it. The reason it started was I went to Mexico, and met this street artist, and he was fucking genius, bro. He literally had the craziest wire wraps I'd ever seen, some of the craziest pieces and things like that. And mind you, like, at this time, like, you, everybody's seen the fucking pictures, you know, like, I had a fucking like Jedi outfit on, dude. I used to wear like literally like 10 fucking necklaces, all with crystals and like fucking bracelets and shit. Like, I had like a lot of jewelry. I love jewelry. Like, it was something I fucking loved. Sure. I still do a degree, just not at that same level. And so when I saw his pieces, I was like, dude, these are amazing. And the people who were around me were like, dude, you should sell this shit. Like, you should fucking sell this shit. So I did. I decided I would like, I fucking like bought a shit ton of them. And mind you, like, this guy is a guy on the streets of Mexico who maybe sells one or two pieces a week. And I came in and bought like 50 to 100 pieces at once, you know? Wow. So like, the guy was super grateful. I went back to him multiple times and we worked together for months on end in terms of me like buying pieces and him mailing them to the US so I could resell them. Like, this guy, like for lack of a better word, I was helping support him and his family. And in return, I was able to sell those pieces to people in the US at a premium who loved them. Not only loved the artwork, not only loved the designs, but loved like the belief that they had behind the crystals and behind what they meant to them. People loved that shit. And so it was a win-win-win situation. Like, there was nothing like, like I've seen many different people and calling it a scam or whatever it is. And it's absolutely like, I just block those people. Now I don't really block people, but if you call that a scam, then you're just an idiot. You just don't understand like how a business is run. And the matter of fact is like, that was the business I was running. It was 100% legit. And I had a great fucking time doing it. Now, why didn't it succeed? Well, mostly because I was a fucking druggie at that point. Any money I made went to going to buying more pot, more drugs, and to try to maintain a lifestyle that was unsustainable for a very long time. And so the business failed because any profits I made didn't go back into the business. You know, they didn't go back into me buying more jewelry or utilizing it for Facebook ads to spread more awareness or any of these things. Like, they just went into me buying more drugs and trying to sustain the lifestyle that I was living. And yeah, that's pretty much the fucking story behind it.
Experience, right? I mean, it seems to have informed, you know, considerably your next moves. Especially when you hit the wave of 2017 crypto speculative price bubbles, man.
Bro, I regret nothing of it, right? So anybody, you can bring up anything you fucking want about my past, but the matter of fact is every little piece of like information that's out there and every little piece of the things that I've done in the past are part of who I am, and I've learned something from them. Like, I don't know if people if people expect someone to start a business and succeed at their very first business, but that doesn't happen. Like, everyone fucking fails at starting a business, and I've failed many times, as you can see in that post. And yeah, that's the fucking truth behind it.
Yeah, no, I'm agreeing more and trying to maintain my professional, objective, journalistic integrity here at the same time. But I'm nodding as you talk. There is something, and I'm not sure what's in the water, where people are drinking a lot of Haterade. And look, I'm not a crystal guy. I'm not a hippie guy. That's not my scene. But like, if you're making people happy, and to me, commerce is the way to do that. If you're the hippie freak, I'm the crazy free market nut. So you're part of my tribe. Like, you're a fellow traveler. Like, again, I don't have to buy your stuff. I don't have to believe in it. I don't have to do any of that. But man, do I respect the hustle. And when I say hustle, I don't mean scam or trying to get over on anybody. You know, these people believe in it. You're providing it. And the craziness of that sounds a lot like cryptocurrency and how people approach crypto and said, you know, this is all vapor. This is all nothing. You're selling this pipe dream to these people. I mean, we get accused of it all the time. So I'm sensitive to everything that you're saying here. You were also a life coach of some kind, right? Or a mentor or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah. I used to do I called it like mindfulness coaching at the time. This was like, oh fuck, what order was this in? Man, it's just so many fucking ventures. Yeah, this was like, this is like around the time where I had just finished writing some books and things like that. And at that point in my life, I was hanging with like hippie entrepreneurs. And it was like very much the same crew that I was hanging with in the jewelry company timeframe. Maybe the jewelry company timeframe was a little more hippie. But there is a large community of people out there who are successful entrepreneurs in the terms of they have businesses that make a lot of money in the tech space. Like what people don't understand is like a lot of like the tech entrepreneurs all go to Burning Man. Like the law, and that includes the crypto space. And if you go to Burning Man, you are partially a hippie. Like I don't understand like the fact that people are like, oh wow, you were a hippie. That's so bad. It's not bad because literally the majority of, I would even argue probably the majority of tech people in like Silicon Valley and even in blockchain technology, they go to Burning Man every single year. And Burning Man is a giant hippie festival. That's literally what it is.
Right. And my guys love Elon Musk, by the way. They just can't stop talking about this guy. And Elon's a huge, or at least Tesla is a huge Burning Man participant.
Exactly. So, at that point, which was before the jewelry company and things like that, I was running around with the crew who were pretty much all like like burners in a way, and are at least influenced by the Burning Man culture. And yeah, everybody was a fucking life coach. Everyone had some sort of business structure set up, and we were all like in a position of where we were like, yeah, like giving people advice who were not in our realm, right? So it could be argued whether or not I have experience or not, like you can argue that, but the matter of fact was I do and did have a different life experience than most, you know, where some entrepreneurs were out there and just building and not focused on themselves at all, not focused on mentality, not focused on like their spirituality in any way, shape, or form. I had a whole different life experience where that literally was my life. I would spend hours a day meditating. I would like spend hours a day with introspection and learning about myself and learning about like why these things mattered and how all of these like kind of spiritual hippie tools could be utilized to succeed more in business. And yeah, I was a quote unquote a coach, you know, and I had like, I don't know, I didn't even have that many clients at that time. I had a couple clients. One of them specifically that comes to mind changed his like whole fucking business model up because of our conversations and is still succeeding very, very successfully to this day. And yeah, like the matter of fact is obviously it didn't succeed. Obviously, like I failed at like, I quote unquote failed at it. I learned a lot from it, but I failed, you know, mostly because of the same exact reasons the jewelry company failed. One, I probably like didn't have enough life experience to be a full blown life coach. While I did have a unique angle and a unique perspective on life, like I was still young and I was still trying things out. And while I did help like a decent amount of people, like every single one of my clients left our conversations feeling better, producing more, like being better entrepreneurs. But the matter of fact was like, I had never run a successful company before. I had never done all of those things that like normal life coaches do. But hell, I did it and it was fun and I had a great time and I learned a lot about myself doing it. So yeah, like that's true. And then it also failed because I was spending all my fucking funds on like drugs and shit again. Like that, like I've always been very open about it. That's what I used to do in the past. I'm so sober for over a year now. And the matter of fact was like all the like money I made went to going and buying fucking weed and going on trips and shit like that. Like, it's just like, it's where I was in my life. I don't regret any of it, but that's why, like, that's probably a very large reason it all failed.
Yeah. That's fascinating. And like I say, your story mirrors the crypto space and how it's, especially in the last 2 years, how it's done that sort of parabolic turn of, you know, the bell curve going up and then, you know, coming down here. You at some point recently, fairly recently, decided to take off the mask, you know, go with Michael Nye and, you know, kind of present yourself in a different way. And I've noticed, your posts are a little bit more, I guess, sober is the word that we're all talking about now, but, are a little bit more sober in their content in the sense that you're telling people, hey, you know, I'm not going to talk about shitcoins anymore because there's a, well, I'll let you tell about it. Why did you take off the mask then?
I took off the mask because I was trying to become, I'm presenting myself in a more serious light now, you know, like the whole account, like Shill Nye, Crypto Shill Nye, didn't start because I was like, ooh, I want to talk about things and get a big following. Like the whole account started because I was like, I found like an ICO and I wanted to like share, like it was an ICO specifically that had Ryan Gosling listed on their website as the lead designer or something like that. And I shared it and that's how like my account blew up like in the very beginning. Like, and I didn't start the account to fucking get 40,000 followers and go travel the world and shit. Like it just led to that. I started the account to have fun and to shit post and to make jokes and memes. And it turned out to be something more serious the more that people liked it, you know, and the more people liked my thoughts and my opinions on things, the more this more serious I took the account, the more serious I took like what I was saying online. Like as of recently, I've completely abandon. I'm not talking about altcoin investments anymore, you know, because I realized that what, like, I've never told anyone to buy anything. I've always only shared like what I've bought and what I've done with my investments. But the matter of fact is people may or may not be blindly following that stuff. And that's just not okay with me. So like, I've been taking things more seriously. I took the mask off specifically because I've been invited to do keynotes. I've been invited to speak. I've been invited to do a lot of different things. And yeah, that's why I took the mask off.
Are you worried that, again, I think it's genius, but I have to kind of go with this. Are you worried that the gimmick of the mask, taking that off and trying to present yourself now as more considerate, do you think you're going to lose followers or influence?
I'm not really worried about whether I have a large amount of followers or influence. Like, if people want to unfollow me, they can unfollow me. I've said it many different times on Twitter, like, if you don't like the things that I post, if you don't like who I am, if you don't like my quote unquote motivational things that I share, just unfollow or block me. I don't really give a fuck. Like, the matter of fact is I have a lot of people in my direct messages and a lot of people in my mentions telling me, dude, your stories about how you got sober, the stories about your business, the stories like the positive things that you post, like, they bring me up. They've helped me, like, I've had multiple people, dude, like, hit me up in the direct messages being like, bro, I'm 4 months sober and it's because of your fucking post. It's because I saw that and I was inspired by it.
Very
like
cool.
That to me is more important than any fucking thing else. Like, and if people don't like what I post, they can go fuck off, like, for lack of a better word, you know, because there are some people that are actually taking action based upon inspiration that they read from my story. And to me, that's fucking cool.
And you're soldiering on. So, with taking off the mask, you've now ventured into the wild world of podcasting, right?
Yeah, man, the podcast is fun. I really enjoy it. We're about a little bit over 2 weeks in. This is going to be our third week on Thursday, and, we're close to 10,000 views and downloads. Just hit episode 10 today, which is episode 10 just released. And yeah, bro, I'm fucking killing it. I love it. It's really good.
Well, very cool. I told you 30 minutes, and I've taken you well over that. So
you can keep going if you want, bro. I'm here. I got all day. So.
Well, that's really, really, really generous of you. So just to kind of end it here, going forward, what, you know, now that the market has, you know, all but crashed, a lot of people have lost money. Certainly the plume is off of it, for a great many people who especially got in around 2017. You know, just to kind of end it here, where do you see the crypto space going, in the near future? And, let us know where we can follow you and take in your work.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think we're still going to be in a bear market for a while, personally. Like, I think we still at least have till the end of this year in a bear market. I really, really hope I'm wrong. Don't throw stones at me. I hope I'm wrong. But in terms of like the whole overall space, man, things are still progressing. It's really interesting to see what's happening. I'm really interested to see what companies are actually going to survive this bear market, if they're going to survive this bear market. And if they don't, then I'm excited to see who's thriving at the end of the bear market to the next bull market. And yeah, if you guys want to follow me, obviously Crypto Shil Nye on Twitter, and go check out my podcast, evolvement.io. That's like my main passion project at the moment.
Very, very cool. Well, again, you're the man for coming on, for being professional, for answering all of my questions, for being candid, whatever people, you know, walk away with. I don't think they can say that you're trying to scam anybody or trying to get over. I wouldn't have you on if I thought that. So, again, I really appreciate your time, man, letting it all out here. And I'm rooting for you. Good luck in the future.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.